Grace, mercy, and peace be to you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. You know, if you're of a certain age, you'll remember the slogan, "No fear." What started as a clothing line conceived in the infancy of the extreme sports movement, the slogan, "No fear," was soon spotted on the backs of pickup trucks and cars across the country. The guys who started the company were motocross racers. And the slogan epitomized their attitude of the motocross race culture. No fear, as you risk life and limb with the throttle wide open. No fear as you hit the jumps and flew through the air. No fear as you raced to the checkered flag of the finish line in pursuit of personal glory. No fear. Well, you know, all of us who are gathered here today, we've heard similar words from Jesus, though the context was certainly much different. He said to his newly called, commissioned, and authorized 12 disciples, "So have no fear of them, for nothing is covered that will not be revealed, nor hidden that will not be known. What I tell you in the dark, say in the light, so that what you hear whispered, say in the night, and what you hear whispered, proclaim on the housetops. And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? And not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. But even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore. You are more valuable than many sparrows. So everyone who acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I also will deny before my Father in heaven." Now, the context is certainly much different indeed. For Jesus is clearly not sending these 12 men out on a motocross race in pursuit of personal glory. He is sending them on a course that will lead them the Father's glory. Jesus isn't calling these men to risk life and limb chasing some selfish dream. He's calling them to follow after him, fully aware of what the risks will be. Jesus has called, authorized, and commissioned these 12 to do the ministry that he himself is doing. For these 12 men now become an extension of the preaching and the teaching, the healing, the proclamation of the kingdom that Jesus has come to do. You know, the no fear slogan of the 90s didn't last all that long in the grand scope of history. I mean, even at its inception, I can remember mocking that slogan with my friends, trying to come up with all sorts of scenarios where fear would most certainly be appropriate. You're swimming in the ocean and you see a dorsal fin from a shark, right? Or you're out in the woods and you see a bear coming at you. Then, of course, came the copycat slogans, right? The copycat slogans that said, "Fear this," whatever the "this" was. And then finally, the shirts that instead of saying "no fear" said things like "no beer" or something equally tongue-in-cheek to both poke fun of and to make a dollar off of the whole short-lived "no fear" slogan. When Jesus is talking about having no fear, he's being quite explicit in the fact that these 12 whom he has authorized, commissioned, and sent, well, they will be rejected, mocked, persecuted. And the reason for the rejection, the mocking, and the persecution is that these men are following in the footsteps of Jesus. And Jesus says to them, "A disciple is not above his teacher, or a servant above his master." See, Jesus doesn't shy away from what is to come for his disciples because he does not shy away from what is to come for him. This is the point. The road that Jesus walks and the path that the disciples are sent on, even more, the course that now the entire church is on, is one that leads us to the cross, Jesus leads the way. He doesn't do it with pride or arrogance, but with humility and service. He doesn't walk this road for his own selfish pursuit of glory, but to glorify the Father who had sent him. Jesus doesn't race by others, leaving them in the dust. He comes to them in their needs of body and soul. Jesus isn't afraid to be spoken against as he associates with the culture's cast-offs. He boldly and joyfully walks the way of the cross to suffer in his flesh and spirit for the sake of others. He willingly endures the shame and the humiliation of being stripped of his garments and lifted up for all to see. He even permits those who are crucifying him to mock his rule and reign as king, wearing a crown of thorns, having the sign above his head reading, "Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews." Jesus dies, knowing that this was all going to happen to him. Jesus dies, knowing what would happen to his disciples who follow after him. Jesus dies, knowing what would happen to his church. For after following after him, they too would die. And yet here's the thing, in his cross is his glory. It's his checkered flag. "It is finished," he said. He has brought to completion the task that he was sent for. He crossed the finish line. He ran his race, not for his personal glory, but for the 12, for all those that he had called, the 12 who would now be the new Israel, the first of those who would follow and live a life of faith to him. He suffered and died for you, his church, that your sin, your shame, and your guilt would be put to death with him on the cross. He did this so you would rightly have no fear. Consider this well, brothers and sisters in Christ. Jesus doesn't send you somewhere that he has not been willing to go himself. Jesus doesn't call you to follow after him and then backtrack and put you out in front. The only reason that you and I have not to fear is that Jesus has traveled to the cross first. Are you mocked for your faith? Are you teased for your testimony? Are you slandered for your service? Remember, Jesus was first. And when Jesus did it, it was for you and for your salvation. When it happens to you, it's for following after him. And if you're following after Jesus, make no mistake about it, there will be crosses. But have no fear. The cross is not simply the finish line for Jesus, and it's not for you. The witness of the Holy Scriptures is that Jesus is not simply crucified and buried, but that he is risen and that he is living. What appeared to be his defeat proved, in fact, to be his victory. Jesus has won for us our salvation. He completed the race for us, and he now shares with us his victory. So just as Jesus has called, commissioned, and authorized the 12, so now he calls, commissions, and authorizes you to be his disciples. I mean, remember, you have been baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That means that you have been given his family name, you have been marked with the sign of his cross, and you are made partakers not only of his sufferings, but of his life. No fear. No, not the 90s slogan, but the gospel truth that our Lord and Savior is with you in the midst of fearful situations. No fear as you live a forgiven life, seeking to love and to serve others in the way that Jesus has loved and served you. No fear as you confess Christ and his work for all. No fear as you are treated in a way in which our Lord was treated. No fear when the time comes to walk through the valley of the shadow of death because Jesus is there leading the way. No fear in this age that is quickly passing by, for our hope is in Christ who lives and reigns forever. No fear. Amen. May the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ, our risen and living Lord. Amen.